This is Newport News Shipbuilding and Dry Dock Company. Appellant has waived. So even though you go first, I'm not going to ask you if you want to reserve any time for rebuttal because, well, there's nothing to rebut. You have 15 minutes.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Brad Reeser. I represent Huntington Ingalls Industries, who's doing business as Newport News Shipbuilding here in Eastern Virginia. There are two problems with Mr. Campbell's appeal in this case. This is one of two appeals Mr. Campbell's has pending before this court. There's a motion for rehearing and a companion occupational disease COPD claim before the court as well. But in this case, he didn't file a rule compliant appendix, and that doesn't create just a formalist gotcha, you didn't comply with the rule kind of problem. It creates very functional problems for the court. Specifically, he can't comply with Rule 5A20 and identify assignments of error, and the court then can't use those assignments of error to verify compliance with the contemporary objection rule. And so for that reason, we would ask that the court just summarily affirm this case because of the rule compliant failure to file a rule compliant appendix. With regards to the merits of this case, I'm not going to get up here and parrot the brief, but I think three points really need to be made. First, the tolling rule that Mr. Campbell wants the court to apply didn't exist in 1972 when he worked. This is a 47-year-old claim, very time-barred.
When did the tolling rule come into effect?
1984, Your Honor. And even if that rule did exist, the rule actually only comes into effect if the employer pays compensation to that worker. And if you look at attachment page 4 to our appellee brief, he admitted in request for admission responses that the employer never paid him compensation benefits. And on page 3 of the attachment, he admitted that Huntington Ingalls, Newport News Shipbuilding at the time, never paid medical benefits. So the tolling rule couldn't apply even if it was retroactively going to be applied by the court. And I think, finally, the court has to keep in mind that we prevailed before the full commission, and we therefore get the benefits of all the favorable inferences when the court reviews facts favorably. And there's only one, I think, problem in this appeal regarding the merits. In our brief, we said that the deputy commissioner declined to apply the imposition doctrine, and he declined to apply the fraud exception to the statute of limitations. He didn't use the word imposition doctrine in his decision, which was incorporated by reference at the full commission level. But he did use the term fraudulent representation, and he said there were no fraudulent representations by my client in regards to dealing with Mr. Campbell. And that's a very big statement that I think is important in this case, because a fraudulent representation is many things. It's a material representation. It's false, and that the employer intentionally made. And so the deputy commissioner, whose facts we review favorably here, determined that no fraudulent representations existed on behalf of my client. And for that reason, I think even if the court was going to independently apply the imposition doctrine, as it did in one particular case cited in the brief, Red Lobster number 235, there would be no reason to do so, because the deputy commissioner heard the testimony, he saw the responses to requests for admissions, and he determined that there were no fraudulent representations on behalf of Newport News Shipbuilding. And if there are no further questions, I would ask the court to affirm.
There are none. We'll come down and greet you, because that's what we do.